like to read four short scriptures together tonight. First you'll find in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, the next is in the Epistle to the Corinthians. First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The Epistle to the Colossians. Read from verse 17. And he is, chapter 1, before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now lastly, the Epistle to the Ephesians. Chapter 1. And we'll just read verses 22 and 23. We'll read more later on, but I just want to read this part at the meantime. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the assembly, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. That's all I wish to read. The Lord helping me, I would like to say a little about the body of Christ. When Paul speaks about the assembly, he links it with the body. And in those four scriptures tonight, I want to put a little heading over them. In the first one, I would say it's a foundation. In Corinthians, it's a formation. Formation of the body of Christ. In Colossians, it's how it functions. And when we come to Ephesians, it's the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now this is the first mention of the body of Christ. But before I say anything about that, I would like just to pass a few remarks on the first two verses, for they are so important. But you'll notice my four readings circle around the body of Christ. I'll just draw your attention to verse 1 in chapter 12. Could you just look at it for a minute? He says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. I suppose you'll have noticed that four times in the epistle to the Romans we get this word therefore. And they begin a chapter every time they are mentioned. Chapter 2, chapter 5, and chapter 8, and chapter 12. Therefore. I wonder why God puts it therefore. Well, I believe he puts it therefore because he has something special to say to us. And if you check them up, you'll find there is something special for us. And in those two verses, I want to draw your attention to this. It affects us in a fourfold way. First of all, it affects us bodily. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's number one. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it affects us socially. Be not conformed to this world. Bodily, socially. And if we read through the second verse again, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, it affects us mentally. And mind you, we're living in a sick world. Men and women are sick mentally. But we've got something in Christ. Haven't we? We have the mind of Christ. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. It affects us mentally, that our minds be kept pure, that we might be engaged with this heavenly man, the man in the glory, the head of the body of the church. We'll touch on it tonight. So we're affected bodily. And we're affected socially, be not conformed to this world. We're affected mentally. And lastly, in that verse, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, it affects us spiritually. spiritually. And I believe there's a great cry from heaven tonight, today in this day and generation, for spiritual men and women. Now that's how those two verses affected me in my quiet meditation in connection with therefore. And you can see it's there for a very important matter, isn't it? Bodily. Physically, if you like. Socially. Mentally and spiritually. Now he goes on to bring before us the truth of the body of Christ. There's two great truths connected with the assembly, and it's this. It's identification of the body of Christ on the one hand, and secondly, in relation to the house of God, God's house. I'm not going to touch on God's house aspect tonight. We may touch that on Monday. But I want to speak on the assembly touch in relation to the body. Now here we have a very interesting statement. It's the first mention of the body by Paul in his writings in the New Testament. And I want you to notice what it says. It's very important. You young people get hold of this. It says in verse 5, we being many are one body in Christ. I want you to notice that, brethren. I think that's vital to see this. Not the one body only, it's the one body in Christ. You know the safest place in the world today? I'll tell you what it is. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. If you let your mind be moved by the Spirit and see the level of connections that stands in relation to being in Christ, why, it would make us leap with joy tonight. What do you say? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. New creation, if any man be in Christ, there is new creation, something that death can't touch. All the range of blessing is gathered together as we read a verse like this. The one body in Christ. Now I want to think that out, young man. Get hold of this. If any man be in Christ, there is new creation. Oh, the new creation. Stainless joys gleam through that pleasant gloom. A world of bliss without alloy, the saints' eternal home. One body in Christ. In Christ. Now, he says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. You see, we can't do without one another. It's the body, you see. It's a check upon independency. You see, this world is full of independency. Man likes to be independent. Independent without God, you see. And the spirit of the age today is full of independency. We don't need God. During the war we needed the nation to be in prayer, a national day of prayer. We don't need God today. Independency. And you know, while I was thinking about this scripture coming down the train today, I thought about the Lord's words, you know, and I thought this is a lovely picture of independency. And the spirit of this, what I'm going to say, is in this world today. It's in your heart and mind if we're not guarded against it. Spirit of independency. You remember he told us about the rich farmer who said, well, I'm going to pull my barns down. I'm going to build greater ones. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to build greater ones. Eat, drink, and be merry, and so on. But in the midst of his independence, there comes two words, and they are vital. You know what they were? But God. But God. You'll notice that. You'll notice those two words. But God. But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." Independence. And this is the spirit of the age we're living in. What wouldn't come to the truth of the one body? What does it say here? "For we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another." You see, this brings in the individual conduct of each and all of us as we move through this scene as believers in the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice this. I think it's four times we get that little expression, "one of another." Verse 5. And then in verse 10, we have it twice mentioned. "Be kindly affectionated one towards another with brotherly love." Number 2. "In honour, preferring one another." Number 3. And lastly, in verse 16. "Be of the same mind one towards another." See how important this is? We can't do without one another. What a joy it is to have fellowship with one another, isn't it? And to realize we are linked up as members of the body of Christ. The body, the one body in Christ. I want to leave that point with you. The one body in Christ. And I think that's the reason why I put my first point over it. We get many fundamental truths in Romans. You could put fundamental truth, it's one of them. But I thought it was more a foundation, wasn't it? Because it's in Christ, you see. Because it's in Christ. It's in Christ. So we move from this scripture to chapter 12. And we have another wonderful scripture in relation to the body. And I think in this chapter you'll notice, you'll see there is a check on the clericalism. Why, the movement and the liberty of the Spirit. What a wonderful thing it is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. And here we see it there. I want you to notice before I read about the one body in verse 12, I want you to notice verses 4, 5, 6 and 7. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." But the same Spirit. "There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." The same Lord. You see in Corinthians, it's the Lordship of Christ, isn't it? You don't get headship here. You have to go to Colossians for that. It's Lordship, isn't it? Wonderful thing, Lordship. What does it mean, Lordship? Supremacy, administration, authority, lordship. Wonderful epistle the Corinthians is, isn't it? The Lord's Supper. We get the Lord's death. We get the Lord's coming. It's lordship, you see. I hope every one of us have come under the lordship of Christ. "Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Any unsaved persons here tonight? Call upon the name of the Lord. Get you under the Lordship of Christ. And you know which spiritual blessings is tonight. Lordship. Then he goes on to say, "And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit." We sang about divine persons, didn't we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wonderful thing. To walk through this sea. The dignity of sonship upon us. Having sweet fellowship with divine persons. Abstracted from this world. Linked up with the world to come. Linked up with God's world. With the Father's world. The man in the glory. The head of the church. Head of the body. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Now here we have the truth of the body in connection with the baptism of the body of Christ. Now I'll read it to you. Verse 12. For as the body is one, and have many members, and all members one body, there are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Now there's no second baptism of the Spirit. There's one baptism. There's one Spirit. There's one Lord. There's one Father of all, and so on. Now when did this take place? When did this take place? Well, there are young believers here, so we've got to explain where it took place. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he tabernacled amongst his own for 40 days. Mind you, the world never saw him after he rose from amongst the dead, raised again by the glory of the Father. He only appeared to his own. And you know, the world doesn't know him now. He only appears to his own. We're privileged people, you know. He only appears to his own. And he tabernacled for 40 days. He was seen of Mary. He was seen of 12. Seen of 500 brethren at once, and so on. You know the collection that's mentioned. Paul says, last of all, he was seen of me. However, on the 40th day, he took them out as far as Bethany and was received up to glory. You remember that he stood and looked up? You remember what the angel said? This same Jesus you've seen being taken up. And mind you, four times in Acts 1, you get those two expressions four times. He was taken up. Four times, taken up. It was to make sure to our hearts he's in the glory, you see. He wasn't only taken up. Paul says he was received up in glory. Of course he is. He's the glorious head at the Father's hand. Received up in the glory. Now when he went up, 10 days after that, the Spirit came down. On the 50th day, it links up with the feast, doesn't it? And the 50th day was the Lord's day. It was the first day of the week. And the Spirit of God came down at Pentecost, you remember? 120. And there the body was formed. That's where the formation of the body took place. Pentecost. There it was formed. And the church was formed. And the house was formed. Of course, you know, those who are in the body are in the church, are in the house, they're all together. We get this in the scriptures I have read, and I'll repeat them over to you again to simplify to the young. He is the head of the body, the church. He is head of the church, the body. You got that now? When you get the house linked up, you remember Paul speaks about the behaviour in the house of God, which is, he says, the assembly of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So Paul, in his writings, he presents to us two great truths in relation to the assembly. The identification of him as the one body, on the one hand, what we are touching on tonight, and on the other hand, God's house, or the house of God. Now that's when it took place. And the Lord adds daily to the assembly, daily, such as should be saved. But there's no second baptism. It's once and for all. Now, I remember when that truth fell upon my heart, when I was a young Christian, I can assure you, it filled my heart with joy. And it's a real stabilizer, you know, to get God's side of things. Mind you, there's no breakdown here, you know. There's no breakdown in Christ, you know. And there's no breakdown when the Spirit works, you know. No breakdown. No breakdown with divine persons. Breakdown's on our side. And of course, as you go down this chapter, He gives us the idea of the natural body. Well, the food can't sit behind, you've no need of feet. He brings in the natural body. You don't get headship here until you come to Colossians. And of course, how true it is. Well, the foot can't sit to the hand and no need of thee. How needful we are. And he goes on to say, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And members in particular. You see how accurate the scripture is in relation to these things. So we can well see the formation of the assembly, the formation of the body, formation of the house, if you like, they all took place at Pentecost when the Spirit of God came down. You know, I feel today, even in our assemblies, we don't make enough room for the Spirit to work. We need spiritual men today. Heaven is yearning for spiritual men today. You know, I was encouraged today in travelling down here. I prayed before I left that I would get someone to talk about, to talk to about the Lord, you know. But coming down from Edinburgh to King's Cross, I never seen nobody. I was a bit disappointed with it. However, I enjoyed reading the work. But when I went to Liverpool Station to come down to Ipswich, I sat down and I had one sandwich to eat and I gave thanks for it. A young man sitting over here, and when I opened my eyes, I noticed he was reading something and I thought, it's very like a Bible, that. I said to the young man, what are you reading? Oh, he said, it's the scriptures. I said, over here. So we were talking together. He said, you're a Christian, I believe. I said, you're giving thanks for your food. I said, yes. Boy, what a grand time we had. Young man, 20 years of age, an Oxford student, going down to Yarmouth to take part in the beach meetings with the children, spending his holiday there. Not brought up in a Christian home, saved at 14 years of age, power of the Spirit. He was a lad full of the Lord, full of the joy of the Lord, reading his Bible, asking questions, giving us something, writing down things. I was really encouraged. I thank the Lord for that. Young man today. I said, I'll pray for you, young man. There it is. Young man, don't be afraid to read your Bibles. Get steeped with the Word of God. Get saturated with it. Be a lover of the Word, because we need men today. The ranks are getting thinner, you know. And we're about to leave this scene. But until then, we're asked to strengthen the things that remain. Well, get into the Word and feed upon the Word and enjoy it for yourself. There it is, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now we'll go to the epistle to the Colossians. We've had the foundation, we've had the formation, now we see it functioning here. He is the head of the body, the church. He's head of the body, the church. Now, we've come to headship. We see the function of the head, nourishment and so on. I'll read that in a few minutes time. I'd just like to say this at this point. God recognizes only one head, and Christ is the head of the church. We had a man over here who they are trying to acclaim he's the head of the church. I don't care what man rises up to say what he is. The scripture says, and God recognizes there is only one head. He can't have two heads. Christ, brethren, Christ is the head, the only head. He's head of the body, he's head of the church. Our head's in glory, and the body's down here. meditating upon this, I think we have two lovely examples or illustrations, if you like, in the New Testament of how God works in securing headship, in a sense, typically in the Old Testament. I'll draw your attention to them. You remember when David came down from watching the sheep, and he was the man that God used in slaying Goliath. It says, when he went into the battle, it says he ran. Divine persons are in a hurry to bless. He ran. I want you to notice that. If you carefully look up that scripture, you'll notice twice it's mentioned. He ran. He ran. Divine persons, they run to bless. I'll give you another two examples of that. You remember the younger son, the prodigal son, it says, when the father saw him afar off, he ran. Wasn't slothful about it. He ran and he covered him with kisses. You remember the unnamed servant in connection with Rebecca? It says he ran, he ran, he ran. There we have divine persons running. The urgency to bless, I would say, to each and all of our hearts. And he slew Goliath. He took his head off. He had to make way for Christ. David, the type of Christ. It's got to go. There's only one head. And the Goliath had to go. His head was taken off. Make way for Christ. He is the head. God sees to it. Headship. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, we have the ark in the house, you remember? And they place an idol there, Dagon and his son, the ark and his son. The next morning, Dagon's down. They put him up again. The next again morning, his head's off. The ark speaks of Christ. There's only one head. God recognizes only one head. It has to go. Did you notice what I read? In all things he must have the preeminence. The giant had to go. Goliath had to go. Dagon had to go. There's only one man before God. It's Christ. And you and I are linked up to them. We are members of the body. We are members of the body in Christ. I think that's quite sufficient to draw attention to the glorious fact that God recognizes only one church, one body, one head. There we have it here. It's the lovely scripture, isn't it? Could I read it again? He is the head of the body, the church. It's the body first here. In Ephesians you will notice it's the church. He's head of the church, the body. But here, he's the head of the body, the church. On the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father. But in him should all the fullness dwell. Now, in verse 19 of the next chapter, we We'll read verses 9 and 10 first. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, who is head of all principalities and powers. Head of creation, head of all principalities and powers, head of the body. Headship, we have three things in connection with headship, haven't we? We have direction, control, and nourishment. That's linked up with headship. Now, to support that, direction, control, and nourishment, we'll read verse 19. And not holding the head, from whom all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, are knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. There we have it. Nourishment. Headship, direction, control, and nourishment. He's head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, we'll go to Ephesians now. As much more could be said in Colossians, but I'll move to Ephesians. One or two things I want to say there. Now we've seen how it functions. Here we have the fullness. Chapter 1 and verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things, notice, to the church. Church is first here. The assembly, that wonderful vessel of glory, about to leave this scene to be the bride of Christ. Or thought, you'll touch on it. The bride of Christ. Head over all things to the assembly, to the church, which is, notice those two words, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. There we have our last one, fullness. Now chapter 2, I want to read one or two verses. Put a little heading over them. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath broken, made one, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing in ordinances, to make himself one new man. This is the church, you know. This is not the new man individually, this is the assembly. So making peace, that we might be reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So in those verses we have three things. We have the bride of Christ, we have the body, and we have the building. So there we have the three things brought together. We have the bride, the body, and the building. Now in chapter 4, in verse 4, there is one body. Now this is what I'm trying to lay emphasis on tonight. This is what the Word of God says. It's not what I say. There's only one body. There's only one head. God only recognizes one head. Christ is the head. And we've got to hold the head. That's how it functions. Holding the head. getting out of direction, control, nourishment from the head, a glorious living head. That's where he is. Father's right hand, we are the body of Christ, members in particular. Where it says, there is one body, only one body. One spirit, Spirit of God. What a power and influence the Spirit of God is in this world. But make sure of this, young man, he's not only an influence, he's a glorious person. Holy Spirit is a glorious person. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is a divine person. Even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. What a sweeping verse this is. We don't need to say anything about these verses, they speak for themselves. Speak for themselves. I'm going to quote that verse over again. One God and Father of all. Who is above all? You know, man's trying to get above everything. He'll never get above this, you know. He's above all. He's above all. They've made good attempts, mind. But he's above all. And he's through all. And he's in you all. Think of it. Christ in you. We've been speaking about we being in Christ. I think it's chapter 8 in Romans we get that first expression, Christ in you. And then in Colossians, Paul takes it up there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And we in Christ. Wonderful truths they are. Speak for themselves, volumes, in the power of the Spirit. One God and Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 11. And he's given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors. I'm in chapter 4 now, verse 12. For three things, I want you to notice this. For the perfecting of the saints, number 1. For the work of the ministry, number 2. Number 3, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's just what we've been doing tonight. Ministering the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit in view of those three things. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. You see the Spirit's work. The ministering of the Word and the power of the Spirit edifying the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Ah, you're complete in him, you see. And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Fullness, you see. Fullness of the Christ. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Who is? Notice again. Who is the head? Even Christ. You see how the Spirit emphasizes the headship of Christ. Who is the head? You think of mortal man in the religious circles. I am the head of the church. There's only one church. God recognizes only one head. And the Scripture, the Spirit of God, would lay emphasis on this wonderful truth. Don't let us be taken away with all this flowery dresses, you know, and the parchments and all the folderols that they have. Get to the Scripture. What does God say about it? What does the Scripture say about it? And you're kept on the right lines. And this is what it says. Grow up unto him in all things who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now for the few minutes that's left, I want to speak about the assembly, that wonderful vessel, the assembly. Who is the head of the church, the assembly, the body? Now, we'll turn to chapter 5. Middle of verse 23. Christ is the head of the church. Verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Wonderful vessel, the assembly. So wonderful that Christ delivered himself up for it. Christ loved the assembly. What a vessel it is. It's going to be a vessel of display in a coming day as the bride of Christ. You know, the scripture says it's not good that man should be alone. And the Lord is alone just now, and he's patiently waiting on the bride of Christ. What a day that will be. He'll have his helpmate in the world to come. What a day of display there is for the assembly. Paul's writings takes the assembly up to heaven. John's writings brings the assembly out of heaven, having the glory of God. Descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. What a day of display. You think of the Lord Jesus having his bride by his side. He suffered, bled, and died for the bride, for the assembly. We often sing that lovely hymn, I love it. O day of wondrous promise, the bridegroom and the bride are seen in glory ever, when divine love will be satisfied. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the day of presentation. I've said this in many fellowship meetings, I'll say it here tonight. This is the day of preparation. God is adding to the assembly such as should be saved. This is the day of presentation, when we come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when he's going to present to himself that glorious church. Notice what the Spirit says about the church. It's a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. You know, we're going through Revelation in the Bible readings. And on Wednesday night we were in chapter 18, talking about the great Babylon and all its wickedness. And we just said, what a contrast to the bride of Christ. Spotless. Spotless. Without spot or wrinkle. What a day it will be for the Lord Jesus when he has the glorious church, the bride of Christ at his side, without spot or wrinkle. The day of presentation, when he's going to present it to himself, without even a spot or a wrinkle or any such. And then, of course, there's the day of celebration, when he comes out of heaven, having the glory of God. What a day of display it will be. Brethren, that's what we're going on for, you know. And I believe it won't be long until we're there. So I just sum up those thoughts again and I close this little address tonight. First of all, we have the foundation, the one body in Christ. The fundamental truth, if you like. Fundamental truth, if you like. Then we have the formation of the assembly, of the body. Corinthians 12, formation. Then we have the function in Colossians, how it functions. And lastly, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now I'm going to read one verse from Ephesians and I close. I think it's worth reading, and it's in chapter 3, it's the last verse. I think it's very fitting we should close with this one. It says, unto him, now that's unto God. I'll read it that way. Unto God be glory.
Whereabouts?
In the assembly. In Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, and to the ages of the ages. And mind you, that takes you a little further than the world to come. That takes you into God's eternal day, that God shall tabernacle with men. When all taint of sin shall be removed, all evil shall be done away, and we shall dwell with God's beloved through God's eternal day. Unto him, unto God, be glory in the assembly, in Christ Jesus, throughout the ages of the ages, takes us right into God's eternal day. May God add his blessing to the world tonight.